this evening, and we just pray that God will bless each one. Also this evening, my brother John, when he prayed Wednesday night, or Thursday night, sorry, mentioned about a wee baby was healed from COVID. And this morning, I had a prayer request as well. There's two little babies, very young. Sister Lydia was telling me this morning, I can't remember their names, it's a relation of Brother Colin Cunningham. And one of the wee babies is bad with COVID, and the other wants to go for a test as well. So we want to pray for them wee babies tonight. The Lord's a healer. And we want to pray that the Lord will touch them, and the Lord will really deliver them, praise God. And any other prayer requests as well, we want to just bring it to the Lord. Maybe we could stand this evening for a change, and I'm going to pray and we're going to read the Word of God. Maybe we could read the Word of God first. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, and my text title tonight is The Cross Road of Crossroads. Just a simple little thought. The Cross Road of Crossroads. Let's just, we'll read first of all, sorry, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 then. And the Lord bless all that's tuned in this evening. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let us just bow our heads this evening, and if you have a need of any description, every eye closed and every head bowed, just slip your hand up before God and I'll remember you this evening. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening and we thank you for this privilege that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we praise you for the open access because of the rent veil of Calvary. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ this evening. I take authority over every foul devil. I take authority over every distracting spirit in this service and over these airwaves in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the enemy of our souls, and I bind them in Jesus Christ's name, not by my power, but by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. For Lord, you said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. Lord, I lift these little children before you, what our sister Lydia mentioned. You know their names, Lord Jesus. Father, I'm asking you to heal them. I'm asking you to touch them and have mercy upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, I rebuke COVID over them and I speak healing and deliverance upon them. I send your word over them now in Jesus Christ's name. May they be healed and delivered. Father, touch your own people in this service. The hands that's raised meet every need. Touch every heart. Lord, save the unsaved. Restore the backslidden and heal the sick. And Father, I do take the Holy Ghost now in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you that you do undertake for me in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Just a little short message, some thoughts this evening. The cross road of crossroads. It has been said that there is a right way and a wrong way of doing something. But that's not really true. There's only one right way to do anything, and every other way is a wrong way. Man's way is vain imagination. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so is the Lord's ways and thoughts higher than our ways. When we are in our own way, we are out of God's way. Man's way is not God's way. God's way is a way of revelation, and revelation brings stimulation. God's way can be revealed to us, and it is revealed to us through the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's way is revealed to us. You know, it's like our brother Gary preached a great sermon some years back about the salmon. And I don't know if he'll preach it again, but it was a wonderful message about the salmon. And you know, the salmon is a fish that went against the tide. And a dead fish can go with a stream. And the dead fish that lies dead in the water, there's no life in it, and it will go with the current. And the Bible says, every one of us, according to Ephesians, we were dead in sins, we were dead in trespasses, we were alienated from God. But it took the Spirit of God and the gospel to turn us onto the right road. The cross road of crossroads. And God had to put the cross in our road to turn us onto the right road. And the salmon goes against the tide. He goes against the stream. He goes it alone, as it were. And he doesn't go just the way that any old dead fish can go. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. But the Lord's ways are the ways of life. Truly, there's only one right way of doing anything. 1,000 ways of doing it wrong. But there's only one right way of doing anything. It is a common practice for all to take the wrong turning at the crossroads. Many times people take the wrong turning. Even Jonah took the wrong turning, didn't he? And he boarded a boat to Nineveh when he should have been going to Tarshish. And you know, God turned him. And God caused trouble to come to bring him on the right road. And I believe this evening for backsliders, I believe that God will work and God will move. And every one of us can experience a time where we're out of God's will and we're not going the way God wants us to go. And we get in trouble with the Lord. And if we really see it, the Lord, never, His love never changes, you know, for the backslider. He's forever married to the backslider. And He loves them. And you know, the one thing I've been learning about God's love is not like my love and your love. My love could change for you. You could do something in me. And I might find it hard to love you. But God's love for you remains always the same. You see, God's above man. He's greater than man. He is the real Superman, Jesus Christ. God in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. We will come to many crossroads in our lifetime, but we must endeavor to bring us straight away to the crossroad. And I want tonight to bring you straight away to the crossroad. And the crossroad is the gospel crossroad. And it is the cross that you need to get to. No man can be saved till he comes to the cross. It's not coming to the church that saves. It's not the sacrament that saves. It's not the pastor or the evangelist that saves. It's not the Pope or Rome that saves, thank God. But it is the Lord Jesus Christ alone that saves. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus' name is above every other name. He came in His Father's name. He didn't come in His own name. He came in His Father's name. He said another will come in His own name. Him they will receive. But He came in His Father's name. And they crucified Him. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the crossroad. The aim of the true gospel is not just to bring men and women to church. But it is to bring them to Jesus Christ. That's the aim of the gospel. You and me as a Christian, our aim should be to bring people to Jesus Christ. Our aim should be to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is our life? You know, if you're 35 to 40, you're halfway there already, even if you make it to 70. Half your life's gone. I'm 52 years of age, and I'm past my best. Now, maybe you're older than me, maybe you're younger than me, but I'm telling you this evening, you need to make hay while the sun shines. No man can work while it is night. We must work while it's day. And if you're going to do anything for God, you need to do it now. Quit talking. Quit talking the talk and walk the walk. God wants men and women that will walk the walk, not just talk the talk. It's easy to do a big talk, but it's a different thing to walk the walk. God wants us to go forward. The gospel is a gospel. Preachers, theologians, and scholars are forever arguing over what is the gospel. They argue over what is the gospel. This argument was actually finished before any of them were ever even born. It was finished. The word of God defines the gospel finally and fully as thus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 5. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. How are you saved? By the gospel. I want to stress that this evening. If you're going to church, it's good. If you're paying your tithes, it's good. If you're being a good person, it's good. But none of those things will fit you for heaven. No. You must come to the cross of Christ to be saved. And you must come into a relationship with the man Christ Jesus and be born again. Born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. Look what he says here in verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. His foundation, scripture. His foundation is not the church. His foundation is not some man he's following. His foundation is the scripture, the absolute. That's its foundation. We can have no other absolute. Every true prophet, every true servant of God will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, not themselves. William Branham's ministry was outstanding. We know that. And he says, don't look to me. I'm just your brother. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. When you read any of them great men of God, they uplifted and magnified the Lord Jesus. That's what they've done. I love when you read of Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth went in to pray for a man that was dying, and he was almost dead. And he said he just began to whisper the name of Jesus. And as he began to whisper the name of Jesus, the man that was almost dead revived, and God healed him, and he walked out whole, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus like no other name. Demons tremble and fear the name of Jesus. That name's above every other name. There's no name can be compared to that name. It is his ointment poured forth. Verse 4 tells us he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now, follow me for a moment. Historical facts. Historical facts. The gospel has to do with historical facts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died. That's an historical fact. He was buried. That's an historical fact. He rose again. That's the best attested historical fact in the whole of human history. Here's the thing which differed from Jesus than from Buddha and from Muhammad and all other men. Here's what's different about Jesus. If we go today over to Jerusalem, and if we were fit to go to the tomb for the enemy, he's not there. Because on the third day, he raised from the dead. And remember before it, he said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. Buddha and Muhammad could never say that. Buddha and Muhammad's life were laid down, but they're still laid down. They'll raise in the judgment, but not to them. But Jesus Christ broke the power of death, hell, and the grave, and he took the keys of death and of hell and the grave off the devil. He stripped the devil of the keys, and he broke the bars asunder, and he rose triumphant o'er the foe, and he's seated at the right hand of majesty, and that means all powerful. And he done more than that. He gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. Gifts unto men. These are historical facts. Acts 2 verse 23 to 27. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, Ye have taken them by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ's body never stayed in the grave. He rose up. I heard a great preacher many years ago, and he was an old man, and he's passed on now, and I heard a little clip of it. And he said, you know, when Jesus was put in the grave, the devil said to Mr. Destroyer, watch over him and break his body down as quick as you can. Destroy him. Destroy his flesh. Let corruption get into it. And the same Mr. Destroyer come back to the devil after a couple of days and he said, nothing's working with this fella. I'm doing with him what I've done with all the rest, but it's not working. Because the word of God foretold through David that his soul would be not left in hell, neither would he see corruption. And even though that destroyer commissioned by the devil trying to do it, he couldn't do it. He had no power over the Prince of Glory. The Lord, hallelujah, mighty in battle, strong to deliver. He had no power over him. I tell you, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out, but the stone was rolled away to let them women and the disciples in. Jesus Christ is risen in a historical fact. Jesus appeared many times after his resurrection. That is an historical fact. And you know the different times he appeared. And one of the times he appeared, Thomas wasn't there. And then he appeared again. Thomas said, I'll not believe it. Except I see the nail prints in his hands, I'll not believe it. And the Lord again appeared to Thomas. And he said, reach forth and feel my hands on my side. I tell you this evening, you need to come to the cross. And you need to come to the man on the cross. He's no longer on it tonight, but it's the preaching of his cross that brings deliverance. He was seen of many. That's an historical fact. The cowardly disciples became heroes. How? How did the cowardly disciples become heroes? Heroes because of Pentecost. Because on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1 through to 24, you can read it, they became heroes. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I love that. I love the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, look what it says. They were all in one accord, in one place. There was no division amongst them, no scandal amongst them, no adversary amongst them. They were in one accord in one place. What's our aim? What's our goal as a fellowship? My goal is to see people saved. That's my ultimate goal. I'll never apologize for that. That's my vision. That's my desire. I want to see more saved. And I don't want to be hindered doing it. And if you're a real believer, you should have the same goal as well. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And we know the story as it goes on. They never learned the language, but they fluently spoke it because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost is an inauguration of the church. How many knows that? That's where the true church began. We cannot claim for a moment that we're the real end time believers if we do not believe in the Pentecostal experience. Amen. You know what a mega ministry means? It means end time ministry. We're at the end. Omega, end. should have a desire to have our hearts turned back to the original apostolic faith that the first church had. We should have a desire to see the same signs, the same wonders, the same demonstration of the power of God when we get up to preach, if we're called to preach. And if you're not called to preach, don't get up to preach. You need to know you're called to preach. Everybody's not called to preach. But there is men that God chooses to preach. And when them men should expect to see the same results, the same demonstration of power. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Hebrews 13 verse 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says in Malachi 3, I am the Lord God, I change not. Hallelujah. He's forever the same. The greatest revelation of all revelations is that God never changes. That's the greatest one. He never changes. That has to be our theme throughout the whole Bible. He was a healer in the Old Testament. He's a healer in the New Testament. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God above them in the Old Testament. God with them in the person of Christ in the New Testament. And now God in us in the Holy Ghost. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. This is the dispensation where Jesus said in John 14, I'm going away, but I will send another comforter in my name. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll take of the Father's and show it unto you. I'm not going to read all of this verses in Acts 2. But verse 23 says, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. Death could not hold him. We've watched people die. We've watched our loved ones die. And they're powerless. If God doesn't intervene, they're powerless. But Jesus Christ broke the power of death. And he took the sting out of death. And Paul says in Corinthians, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? It's swallowed up at Calvary. Here's a divine truth. The facts are all related to truth. Truth that sets free and saves. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ died, why? For our sins. You know, only for sins did Christ die. I preached a sermon years ago, I don't know if you remembered. He is a savior for no one but sinners. A savior for no one but sinners. Romans says, for sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Jesus Christ is a savior for no one but sinners. Thank God he's a savior for sinners. Where would we be if it hadn't been for the savior and the cross? Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength. Now when I get into Romans, I love the book of Romans. I learned this verse as a boy of 14, 15 years of age. I learned the whole of chapter 5 under a telly lamp. In my grandmother's little living room under a wee telly lamp. I used to light it and go over it and go over it. And I had an old blue Bible and the book of Romans fell right out of it. I read it every night over and over and over and over. And Romans, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Praise God. Sin leaves man weak. Helpless and hopeless apart from God. It leaves man without strength. Man is utterly unable to lift or save himself. As a weak baby, when a baby is born, it cannot do nothing for itself. The mother has to nurture it and feed it and carry it and lift it. That baby would die without his mother's help. And we were without strength. Dead in sin and trespasses. But Jesus Christ became our Abba Father. And he bears us up on his shoulders and he carries us. And else
Shaddai means a strong-breasted one. He sustains us.
Hallelujah. You see, born in sin, unable to do anything for self, so was man without Jesus Christ. He had no sin of his own, but took our sins. Actually, he took our place. Christ took our place at the cross. He became for us the sin-bearing sacrifice at the cross. The next time, brother, the devil gives you a hard time, say, yes, I failed. Sure, no, I have. But Jesus took my place, and he never failed. He overcame, tempted in the flesh at all points, tried at all points, yet without sin. He's my hero. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. John 1:29 says, the next day, John saith Jesus coming unto him. This is where I got my text. For a Savior for no one but sinners, and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God's appointed, take away of sin. How many members years ago, I preached it in the Orange Hall, years ago. God's appointed, taker away of sin. Pope of Rome's not appointed. You know, the Pope of Rome made a claim which was blasphemy. He said, do not come to Jesus, come to me. You don't need to come to Jesus, come to me. That makes him Antichrist right there. You cannot go to no one, only the Lord. No prophet, no priest, no pope, no evangelist, no pastor can save. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The Bible says he's a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, everything else is a broken stick. God's appointed, taken away sin. He rose again. Why? Because he had fully, completely paid our debts. Brother, he paid your debts. He paid my debts. He paid all your debts. Your sins are gone. They're gone to stay. They're washed away from the memory of God into the sea of God's forgetfulness. A brother said last week, there's a second chance for God. There's even a third chance. Praise God. Because God's a merciful God. Didn't some of the brothers pray, Lord in wrath, remember mercy? Is that not all of our prayers? Lord in wrath, remember mercy. Don't we all want mercy? Mercy for our children. Mercy for our loved ones. We want the mercy of the Lord. We don't want God's judgment. We want God's mercy. And no matter what you've done or where you've been or where you've lay or whatever's happened in your life, if you'll come clean and clear to Jesus, he'll wash you. He'll clean you. He'll purify you. You'll be whiter than the driven snow by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll never forget the evening. I was saved, but I was still in bondage. Bondage to my flesh and bondage to so many things. Enchained, yet I was saved. And I stood in my back garden at my mother's house, and I threw my two arms up, and a wee friend was with me. He's not serving the Lord today. Pray God will bring him back. And I said, Rodney, I'm going to meet God today. And he didn't know what I was talking about. And I went away up into the wee front room. I think Philip sleeps in it now, my mother's house. And I stayed in there right through into the very night from all day and waited on the Lord. And that same supernatural presence that came to me in High Bank Jail woke me and came in the room. Then the voice spoke to me and said, Isaiah 1, verse 18. I'd never read it, but the voice kept saying it. And I had to rise, and I lifted the Bible, and I began to read, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as the wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be pure and clean. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus delivered me in that verse. I didn't need nobody to gather around me and put hands on me. The Lord delivered me on one verse. One verse from God can set you free. One word can deliver you from the Lord. There's power in God's word. The cross, road of crossroads. That's where we need to come. Salvation.
He was seen. Why? Because it is by looking to Him alone, by the eye of faith, that salvation is experienced. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith.
Turn your eyes. And turn away from everything. Church, sacrament, religion, good works, prayers. Prayers is good.
You know, our brother reminded us the other week in the wee app about how the Muslims pray and how the Jews pray. And that's good. That's all good. And it's good to be reminded. But I want to tell you this evening, if they're not coming to heaven in the name that's above every name, it goes no higher than that ceiling. It can't reach the ceiling because it's not in the name that's above every name. But when a Christian prays a simple prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, it has an effect. The Word of God says His ear is ever open to their cry. His arm is not shortened. He can save and deliver.
Oh, hallelujah. I pray that God would give us zeal. You know, when I went to Malawi the first time, I was wakened early in the morning with a howler. You know them big domes they have, brother? Really early in the morning, you know, they hire a man. And you know how they pick him? They just don't pick anybody. They get all of them to shout and see how good their voice is. And they pick the one with the best, loudest voice that can shout out well and loud. And he gets up and he howls out over a microphone and they pay him. They pay him to do his howling. And he does it so many times a day, he does it. And when I was in Malawi, waking me every morning and I hit the desk of thump and I said, that's it. If he's ticking an hour, I'll tick an hour. And every time he wakened me, I'd get down and pray along with him for an hour. If he could pray an hour, sure, why shouldn't a Christian be fit to pray an hour? I tell you, I know you've told you the story before and I'm going to tell you it again. I told it to the man the other day. They brought a group of youth from America over to England, to where John Wesley was and where he slept. And those marks on the floor where John Wesley had knelt down praying, he'd left marks on the wooden floor with his knees. William Branham said, you can't tell a man by the width of the shoulders or how tall he is or broad he is, but a real man has bags in his trousers where he bends his knees and prays. That's the stature of a real man if he can pray. And the student's time was over to go home. And the master, when he noticed there's one student missing, and we went back in to find him, there was a young student down in those marks on the floor praying, and he was praying, Lord, do it again. And that young student was Billy Graham. And I don't care what anybody thinks of Billy Graham, but Billy Graham was the world's best evangelist. There's not even a question about it. I don't agree with all that happened, but God used him to win souls. There was a number in heaven of souls that had to be reached, and God used Billy Graham to reach them. You know, even William Branham said he's the world's greatest evangelist, Billy Graham. He said that. And he said further than that, he said he was one of the messengers to Sodom. He said Billy Graham and Oral Roberts was two messengers from God to this Sodom age. And he took the scripture of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he showed when Lot came out by the angels. The angels brought Lot out, and as soon as Lot came out, the fire fell. And he said, watch where Oral Roberts and Billy Graham goes, because the fire will fall. And they're both gone, and we're at the Sodomite age again, and the fire's ready to fall. We're living in the last days. Living in the last days. If you saw the app that one of the brothers put up today, and they asked this woman, that thing you talk to in the house, that machine, you can ask it questions. Alexa. And they asked it, you know, what was the population on England, I think it was, or wherever it was, 67 million or whatever, and by 2025 they expect it to be 20 million. Where's the 40 going? Now, I might not got the numbers right, but it's going to decrease by 2/3. How? Because there's something behind everything that's going on in this world.
believe that. And I believe that. But I'm going to say this evening. Don't fear. Because the Word of God says, while the earth remains, summer and harvest will remain. That's God's Word. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the Word of God. The crossroad. And I'm almost finished. We should always remember when the New Testament speaks of the cross, it always refers to the work of the cross, not the word of the cross, not a cross that hangs round your neck. You can put a cross up in your church, you can wear a cross round your neck. If you want to do that, that's fine. That's up to you. But this is not about a wooden cross, this is about a man that was on the cross. And the man that was on the cross is no longer on the cross. The cross is empty. And Jesus is risen over the cross. I'm going to close this evening. And I've told this story many times. I'm going to tell it again. And you know where I got this story from? William Mullen. The late William Mullen. He said there was a big policeman worked about Belfast. One night when he was on his work and he found this wee boy all dirty. And the wee lad was crying and he was away from home. He'd lost his family. He didn't know where he was. And he took the wee lad by the hand and began to walk with him. And the wee boy was crying. And as they began to walk, he spotted this big church and the wee lad says, "My home is over there." And the big policeman was a saved man. He said, "How do you know your home's over there?" He said, "You see that church with a cross on it? I live behind that church with a cross on it. I know that cross. My house is behind that church with a cross." And the wee boy pulled out of his arms and ran straight home because the cross led him home. And the Spirit of God spoke to that big policeman and he says, "Just point them to the cross and I'll do the rest. Don't point them to the movement. A movement will fail. Don't point them to some system. A system will fail. But Jesus Christ will never fail. Point them to the cross. For the cross leads home." The crossroad of crossroads. I'll tell that one more story and I'm going to close. Jack Coe preached a great sermon, and you know I love the ministry of Jack Coe. He preached a great sermon and he called it Detours on the Road to Hell. And he mentioned all the different detours. Detours that God had set up to keep people from going to hell. And he mentioned all these different detours. And he said the last detour is the cross. And he said, if you can get round that last detour, you're lost forever. The cross. He told the story of a man years ago when they had the horses and the wagons. And the man heard the gospel all his life and he'd done nothing about it. And his horses ran off and he was going down a hill. And he knew he was coming till his end and he was going to perish and he was going to die. And he began to scream out as the horses ran. And he screamed out, "My foot is too short and I can't reach the brake. Won't somebody save me? Won't somebody save me?" But it was too late. And they went off the edge of the cliff and that man died and perished with them horses. Warned all his lifetime but done nothing about it. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you heard the message of the cross and done nothing about it? Maybe somebody's listening in tonight and you know you're saved, but you're backslidden, you're cold, you're away from God. Come back to the cross. Get your first love again. The Lord loves you still the same as He always did. Yes, you might have failed, but God still loves you. He still loves you. He'll wash you and He'll cleanse you and His blood will make you whole. What can wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tell you, it's only the blood of Jesus that cleanses. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Let's stand to our feet, and I'm going to pray, and the Brother Gary's going to come. And just to say, next Sunday morning, our Brother Ian will be preaching. Next Sunday morning, and the different brothers over the next Sunday mornings. Let us close our eyes and bow our heads. Maybe the Lord has spoke to somebody in this very service. Maybe somebody watching in, and the Lord has spoke to you tonight, and you need to be saved. Maybe you're backslidden, you need to get right with God. I want to give you a fair opportunity. You know, Spurgeon told a story where he never made an altar call. He never give that time for people to get saved. And he said the building burned down that night, and many people lost their lives. And C.H. Spurgeon said, never again would he ever let that happen. But in every service, he would give opportunity for people to be saved. Is there anyone tonight and you would say, Pastor, I need to get right with God. Will you pray for me? Will you lift your hand? If you're listening online, God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching in online, the Bible's clear. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I thank you this evening for your precious word. Lord, I know your word will not return void. Father, I pray that you'll save souls. For those who have responded to the gospel call tonight, may the Holy Spirit give them deciding grace. Lord, your word's clear and plain. If we call on your name and repent of our sins, we shall be saved. Father, this evening, for those that need to call on your name, give them the courage to come to the cross. Bring them to the cross where they may find salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the backslidden tonight. Restore them and renew them. Give them the joy of their salvation back in the name of the Lord. Father, ask for any of the sick in the body tonight watching in or in this room. Lord, I pray you'll touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray again for Sister Jenny. Jennifer, Lord, McNeely tonight. Father, that you'll touch her. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray again for those wee children with the COVID. Lord, that you'll touch them and deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, for Gary's dear sister as well. Father, that you'll save her and heal her. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we commit this service to you. Pray you bless the song leader as he comes. Help us to sing the victory of the Lord. And I pray that you'll water your own word with your blessing of the Holy Spirit upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our Brother Gary comes. And don't forget Thursday night, our prayer and Bible study. Praise God. God bless you.
Give us life in Calvary to see it, and that's like me. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. great plan of salvation that you had, Lord, and you sent your only begotten Son into the world to save sinners, where he offered up his life on the cross, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's our prayer this evening, Lord Jesus Christ. Touch our loved ones that need a touch from you. For every name tomorrow want to be, we pray that they profit now. Lord, until they be,
yes,
we pray that bless us, bless our families, bless our loved ones. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm just going to sing, as we leave, a chorus or a verse or two of, when my heart sings today, sings for joy. Lord bless you, as you.
Oh my.